Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast, or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. Welcome back. It's a long off season. This is like one of the longest, weirdest off seasons in Bears history, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Everybody got their Twitter camps and everybody's in fighting and what to do with it. Now that we at least got the quarterback situation, you know, out of the way, and everybody know what the Bears are going to do. They're going to draft Caleb Williams. Don't even mention Drake May. They didn't even show up to his pro day. You know, that's a wrap. So the main thing now is, what are we going to do with the number 9 pick? So y'all can fight about that now. Right. Everybody can fight about the number 9 pick and what we should do with the number 9 pick.
I believe the Bears should go after Romeo Ortiz.
Ortiz, nice.
When Dog said that, he was like, when I seen that, I'm like, I kept seeing it all up and down my feed, bro. Everybody was like, Romeo Ortiz. I'm like, who the fuck is that? I died laughing, like, Romeo Ortiz. And then I had... I actually watched the damn video and I'm like, Romeo Ortiz? Okay, then.
Ortiz nuts.
Doug went Romeo Ortiz. Bruh, I was in tears hollering. Like, man, that shit still make me laugh. Romeo Ortiz. And he said it with such confidence, too. Like, yeah, I'll go with Romeo Ortiz. I'm like, that sound like a damn baseball player. Romeo Ortiz. Like, who the hell is that?
Romeo Ortiz.
But I'm like, all right, you whatever. So number 9, I mean, if you want, in all actuality, if we're going number 9 here, and from the looks of everything, according to a report from Rappaport, Ian Rappaport, he stated, and a lot of GMs feel that in this year's draft, going into the fourth round, the talent level drops off a cliff, right? And it's just straight up booty after that, because a lot of young cats, you know what I'm saying, do with NIL and everything else, they decided to stay back in school and collect more money than possibly what they would have gotten if they would have went in the later rounds. You see what I'm saying? So, okay, cool. So with that said, that lets me know that we're not trading back. So we're using our number 9 pick, and we're going to be stuck with our 4 draft picks now. So, okay, cool. With that, I believe that you want to put your quarterback in the best situation possible. If Joe Alt is there at number 9, you take you could possibly take a tackle. But if you're cool with who we got there over on the left side, then, you know, you go with Romeo Ortiz. No, you go with Romo Dunze. You go with him, plain and simple. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe we need another tight end with Brock Bowers, with Everett and Komet in the tight end room. We don't need a running back. You know, we have an aging Keenan Allen who's on a 1-year rental. He's also 32 years old. But then, of course, you know, we also have DJ Moore who's over there. But that wide receiver room is really depleted, man, after the first two guys. You know what I'm saying? You're banking on Tyler Scott? I think not. You know what I'm saying? So you can't depend on that. So you're going to have to go wide receiver at that point. And the way that it's looking, that they're saying quarterback is going to go 1, 2, 3 and possibly 4 with J.J. McCarthy shooting up the board. By the time number 9 rolls around, shit, so you're saying 1, 2, 3, 4. And then, of course, hell, you got 5 through 9, bro. I don't think receiver is going to go 1, 2, 3. You know what I'm saying? So at that point, you take Romo Dunze at number 9, or, you know, if I don't see anybody passing on Marvin Harrison Jr. and I don't see anybody passing on Malik Nabers, but whoever the hell is there out of the 3 at number 9, that's who you take.
Well, you know, the way I look at it is, if if the Bears have the number 9 pick and Romo Dunze is gone and so is Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, I'm not taking. I think he's good. I just don't think he fits what the Bears are trying to do. You know what I mean? But I could be wrong. I mean, because he's another DJ Moore, you know, size and you know, everything like that. I want another guy that's bigger that can play and learn from Keenan Allen for the year or possibly 2 years that he might be here. So that's Rome to me. That's Rome Odunze or somebody like that. But that's just my personal preference. You know what I mean? So my personal preference out the window because it really don't matter. But that's my personal preference. To me, if you're at 9 and those guys are gone, I would say trade down. I still say trade down. If they trade down, you know, you can still get another player at 11 to 15 or even further down if you need to. But there's a lot of there's some talent here. And Rap is saying that there's, you know, some talent is going to be gone. But, you know, you still got defensive tackles. You still got defensive ends. And we need, I would say, an edge rusher more than anything. Right. But I want a guy who's not a specialist. Right. So I was thinking about DJ. I mean, not DJ, but Dallas. What's my man from Alabama? Dallas. What's his last name?
Turner.
Yeah, Dallas Turner. So I was thinking about Dallas Turner, but to me, he's more of a specialist or an outside linebacker, right?
Yeah.
And then you look at Chop Robinson, and Chop is cool too, but I think he's more of an outside. You know what I mean? He's not really.
Right. They got to get bigger. They're undersized.
Yeah, they got to get bigger. Those guys are both like 240. You know
they
what I mean?
They remind me a lot of Leonard Floyd. Mm-hmm.
You know,
both of them.
Yeah. Leonard Floyd or whatever, like you about to say. So, you know, you just got, that type of situation. And to me, I want Jared Verse, or maybe even the dude Latu from UCLA. I take either one of those. I take Jared Verse first because I believe he can set the edge. I don't want another situation where we have Robert Quinn, who is only good for pass rushing, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Like a Yannick Ngakoue resigning. Exactly. Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, just pass rush and that's it. They can't set the edge. They can't stop the run. I need somebody that's going to be out to be on the field 60% of the plays. You know what I mean? 70% of the plays.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can throw those other bodies in and bring them off the bench and things like that. But anytime you bring him in, you know they're not, you know, they can run at him all day long. So that's just my personal preference, man. I mean, but, you know, pass rushing specialists are needed in the NFL, and a lot of people are going to them. But I just need somebody that's going to be a do-it-all guy. I don't think they're Michael Parsons. Michael Parsons is a little bit better at that. Even they run at Michael Parsons sometimes. You know what I mean? And that's where – because he's lighting the tail. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
You know, you just got to have – I just feel like you got to have – I want somebody that's going to be able to do both. At a high rate.
Yeah. It's tricky, bro, because I can see the Bears, like you said, depending on how they feel about Braxton Jones. I've heard that they like Braxton Jones, but is Joe Alt so much better than Braxton Jones that you just draft Joe Alt? You know, because I mean, if he's like the next Trent Williams or whatever, you can't pass up on him. You know, so you gotta take him, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I can see that, and you also like Romo.
Nine, though.
Nah, but that's the thing. I mean, with the quarterbacks, you might, because you got the four quarterbacks and Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers. That's six players. So somebody, like, I think Dallas Turner, Joe Alt, Roma Dunze, one of them is going to be sitting there at 9. I don't know which one, but one of them will be sitting there just because of the way the numbers shake out. It's going to happen because if you say Caleb. What? Jaden, Drake.
Yep.
And
then possibly JJ.
Yeah, four. Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison going four, I think, too.
But what they're saying is gaining traction as a team is looking to trade into the top four for JJ McCarthy because he's supposed to have a lot of steam going. So what they're saying is that Arizona may be willing to trade out of that spot and you know, gain capital for next year. And trade out of that spot, and then a team comes in and takes JJ McCarthy at 4. I don't see it with JJ, but you know, whatever. I guess You know, you got Jim Harbaugh.
It could be smoke.
Yeah, you got Jim Harbaugh hyping him up too. So, you know, and it's gaining a lot of traction. So,
somebody gonna trade up in that. Gonna trade up, bro. Yeah. It happens every year. Somebody gonna trade up into that top five. It's gonna happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the
maybe the Giants.
It might be.
The Giants. You never know. You know,
the unknown unknowns. Yeah, I'm looking at a mock where they got Turner gone, Odunze gone, and Alt gone before the Bears pick. And they got this was the CBS, and they got the Bears selecting Brock Bowers. I don't see that.
Why?
In that case, you might trade down. Because, right. The neighbors gone, all of them gone. So, I mean, that could happen too. And then what do you do then? And now I can see, you trading down because Verse might be available. It can get tricky, man. Like, at number nine, you don't control your fate. You at the hands of other people, dude.
Absolutely. Could it be a possibility where they trade with Minnesota and grab two firsts, the 11th and 21st? Depending on who's there, because Minnesota's going to need a quarterback. In dire need.
If there's a quarterback sitting there at nine.
Like a Michael Penix or... Yeah, or even JJ, you know what I'm saying? Michael Penix, yeah. JJ, what have you. But I truly think, like I said, I think Arizona and Los Angeles are going to go wide receiver 4 and 5. That's going to be the, you know what I'm saying, after the first quarterbacks are taken. If some like Roy stated, if somebody don't trade into that pick with Arizona and give them an offer that they can't refuse, you know, to take their quarterback, which, whatever.
Yeah. New York needs a quarterback, dude. Bad. That's another thing. I'm looking. They got them on the mock.
New York, like, they done Denver. They need quarterbacks. New York, Denver. Who else? Raiders.
Yeah.
There's quite a few teams.
Yeah, but New York is at six, right?
Yep.
New York is at six. They need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I mean, they can draft Rome, but they ain't gonna have nobody throw them damn ball. You
exactly.
know?
Exactly. Who the hell's at seven?
It's a tricky. Tennessee.
Ooh. Yeah.
Tennessee.
They just gave my man some money, though. I don't think they're going wide receiver.
Nah, they probably not.
Who knows, man? You never know what this team is.
They just drafted a guy. You never know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Didn't they draft? They drafted back to back quarterbacks, didn't they?
Tennessee.
They drafted Malik 1 year from.
Yep.
Then they drafted
Levis.
Will Levis
last year.
Yeah.
Or was it? Yeah, it was last year. So, but yeah, man, you know, as scrolling up and down the timeline, man, on the Twitter feed, I see that a lot of people are already placing rookie of the year projections on Caleb Williams, you know, because everybody's feeding into the hype saying that, you know, hey, he's like the only number one pick coming into a situation where other number ones weren't granted, right? So they're saying that he's coming into a situation that is incredible. And I understand that. But I also want people to understand that there's a thing called a learning curve, right? And all rookies have it. And it takes time for adjustment. It takes time for understanding. It takes time for progression and digesting defensive looks, right? So with that said, and knowing the fact that I don't think we have the best offensive line in the world, I don't think that we have, adequate protection for him right now. But I want people to scale back a little bit on those rookie of the year expectations, because I'm being realistic, you know what I'm saying, and what he's going to be dealing with. Totally, you know, chaos from the snap, from the point of the snap, especially when we play against those better defensive fronts. Given the fact that Caleb is not as athletic as Justin Fields, and everybody's saying, well, he don't have to be. He can throw from the pocket. It's hard to throw when you're getting pressured nonstop, right? So, and I read a piece, and this is no knock on Caleb, so let's get that understood, right? Caleb, if he becomes with the Bears, if he's with the Bears, I support him 100%. But something that I didn't like that I read was where people say, oh, well, in that Notre Dame game, they threw a defense at him that he totally wasn't ready for. He's never seen. And they put in defensive packages and stunts that he's never seen them do before.
Well, what you think is going to happen in the NFL?
Ain't that what they do in the NFL on a week-to-week basis? Mm-hmm. So where the fuck y'all going with this, man? Like, this makes no sense to me. So if that is an issue, right? That is an issue. And if that was an issue in the Notre Dame game, if that was the issue in the Stanford game, if that was the issue in all the other games where he put up crazy numbers, right? He put up real good numbers, but the team still lost, right? We get it. Whatever. My thing is, what do you think is going to happen in the NFL? And people are expecting rookie of the year ordeals because, he's the number one pick. He's definitely going to be the rookie of the year. Well, ask Bryce Young that. How'd that work out? Didn't work out well, right? And just because he was a number one overall pick, he wasn't a rookie of the year. And now you got people even questioning Bryce Young's ability to be a franchise quarterback. And Bryce Young, given the fact that he went to such a horrendous team and a horrendous situation, he may suffer the same fate that Justin Fields suffered. And probably will, if Carolina has another off year or a bad year because there is no infrastructure around him, that's a possibility that Bryce Young may be on the outs. And people say, damn, after year two, year three, that's going to be the rumblings, man. Mm-hmm. And it's not his fault. And that's the crazy part about it, but that's just the nature of the business and the game that we're in when you go to piss poor franchises that don't know how to develop a quarterback, that don't have the infrastructure to support quarterback stability, and then you got eight different people in a quarterback's ear at one time. That could ruin a quarterback. Easily. So again, like I said, I'm not saying that this is going to be Caleb Williams' fate, but I also want people to scale back expectations because, again, dog ain't quarterback Jesus, folks. He's not. There's no magical elixir that's going to fix what ails us. All right. We still got issues outside of the quarterback position. In my opinion, wasn't the issue. It wasn't the issue. The issue was the offensive line. You couldn't protect him. The issue was you only gave him one weapon out of his 3 years being here, and he got that weapon his last year here. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, you put nothing else around him. Okay, so now we put the weapons around him, and now look at the offensive line. Who did they add to make you believe that this offensive line is solidified? They gave up a fifth-round pick.
I don't think, but they did address some needs.
Right, but they gave up a fifth-round pick for another backup. Another backup. When are we going to stop doing this shit? When are we going to actually get guys?
What other options did you have, though, Ness?
I get it. And I understand that. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is,
I don't think he's going to start. I don't think he's going to start anyone. No, I think he's a super sub.
I understand that going throughout, once training camp start, OTAs, there's going to be a lot of veterans getting released, things of that nature, right? So it's a possibility that we could still add to that offensive line. But at the same time, I want people to understand we ain't fixed it, folks. It ain't fixed yet. It's not fixed yet. We got a couple weapons, a couple of additional weapons. But other than that, that offensive line still is trouble.
Which in my opinion, is why Joe Alt is still very much.
Makes sense. It makes sense.
And you can say, well, Keenan Allen's he's on the last year deal, but okay, you can worry about that shit next year.
Yeah.
GMs think like that. They can be like, you know what? I can worry about that next year. Maybe I give him a 2-year extension. Maybe I go draft a guy in the first round next year because I still got my first round draft pick. Maybe and I still have money. I can sign a guy in free agency. That's a problem for next year. You know what I mean? Like, you can draft a wide receiver in the third round. You still got guys that can play number three wide receiver on a free agent market right now. Like, they're number three. Like, you got to, like, if Keenan Allen, which you should expect, I mean, they're going to miss some games, right? It's the way it is. But DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett are going to eat up all the targets. Whoever your number three wide receiver is shouldn't get that many catches. So, yeah, you could probably sign a DJ Chark, and I know he's hurt a lot, to just play number three wide receiver. I mean, he go catch, 30 balls?
Right.
30. But, yeah, I still can see. I forgot who I was listening to or watching. They were saying Joe Alt is a real possibility. I think it was NBC Sports or whatever. Brother Ken Davis, and they were saying that like Joe Alt's like a real possibility, and people just like focus on wide receiver, and they're like, if they think that dude's the dude, then he's sitting there at nine, you take him, and you make Braxton Jones a swing tackle,
or you can kick him inside a guard for when.
Well, Davis, I don't know whose job he's going to take at this point.
Davis, he's often injured, so or just missing games, just to miss.
But that's
games.
Why you got Ryan Bates.
Yeah, you got.
I
Ryan
think that's
Bates.
Why they got Ryan Bates because Tev gets hurt. And Jenkins, Tev get hurt, and Davis got hurt. So now you got a guy that can play right guard and left guard. I think that was the whole point of them even picking him up. Kind of business. So yeah, you could draft Joe Alt. Now if you got Joe Alt, you got two first round left tackles. You got a left tackle that's a first round top 10 pick. You got a right tackle that's a top 10 pick. I don't know, bro. You done enough on offense. You did enough, in my opinion. You got Tevin Jenkins, who's a second round pick. You paid a bunch of money to Nate Davis. Sure, the center is like a veteran solid dude, but I mean, if you're gonna be weak at any position, you know, it got the center because they don't have to take on one-on-ones. So
right.
If you got two first round tackles, bro, bookends, I think you did enough. I think I ain't saying that he needs to win rookie of the year, but he better be better than Bryce Young because I think he's better than Bryce Young and he is in a better position than Bryce Young. And I'm not as crazy as these people that, and I was saying this shit months ago. You guys are putting too much expectation because they were trying to tear Justin Fields down in order to build Caleb Williams up.
Yes,
and it was an argument, it was a Twitter thing. And I was like, hey, after we got through shit posting and just throwing mud, I was like, hey, time out, bro. If he's a Bear, this dude needs weapons. He needs a line. He still needs. I'm going to say the same thing I said about Justin Fields.
Right.
He needs good play calling. He needs stable coaching. He needs a good running game. He needs defense. He needs wide receivers that can get open, that can make contested catches. He needs tight ends. He needs an offensive line. He needs the same thing that Justin Fields needed. I'm not going to say that he needs less. I want him to have all the weapons.
He got more already.
Yeah, he got more already. So yeah, Justin Fields never had Keenan Allen.
And let's not get it twisted. You know what I mean? I know what y'all are saying, but let's not get it twisted. He's walking into a better situation than any other
by far
first round quarterback is walking into. All right,
by far.
With a team that was 7-10.
Oh, I agree.
It could have been 10-7.
Should have been 10-7.
Top 10 defense.
10-7, easily. Right. So he's walking into that situation with better players. And more weapons now with Swift, with Allen, with the tight end that they brought in. I mean, they loaded. They don't need another tight end. This Brock Bowers thing?
No.
That's just no. That's these people that don't know football. Why right. would you get a Brock mm-hmm. Bowers when you just brought in Gerald Everett and you got Cole Kmet already? What are you going to do? Are we lining up eight, you know, five wide and they're all going to be tight ends? What are we doing? You know what I'm saying? So you know, that Brock Bowers, I like his game. I like all of it, but I don't think that's the route that they're going to go. Not at this point.
No.
And when it comes to Caleb Williams, we know the deal because we preached it. We preached it, and I said it last week. You know, I'm all for giving him everything that he needs. I think he's in a better situation right now. He would have been in even a better situation, whatever QB we got, if we had kept Justin Fields. And got rid of Justin Fields next year or whatever. With the coach. All I hope is that we don't falter and then the coach ends up getting fired. Because then we got this whole you know.
Repeated the same cycle.
Again. Same crap. So that is what it is. But these people, I'm just going to be honest. I got a difference of opinion than you guys. These people that are putting these expectations on them, go ahead. Heap them on there. Heap them on them. I don't mind. I'm going to say the same thing about him. That I said about Justin. He needs weapons. He needs people around him. He needs coaching. He needs all of that stuff. I'm always going to be consistent saying that. But you know what? Since y'all know so much, go ahead and heap all of that on him. Heap all of it on him. And if it doesn't work out, I want to see what they say.
You know what they're going to say.
Now, I'm not rooting against the kids.
No, but you know what they're going to say.
Don't take it. Don't take it that way. I know y'all don't, but I'm telling people not to take it that way. I don't want the kid to fail. I want him to succeed.
Absolutely.
That's number one. I want him to succeed. Mm-hmm. But if your standard is this, don't change your standard now that you got your guy. Your standard is this. Your standard should always be that.
Yeah.
If Justin Fields was, somebody told me last year, I think it was 8 games to go, he needs to go out there and play at a Pro Bowl level, MVP type level, in order to keep his job over the next 8 games. If Justin needed to do that with inferior talent, what do you think Caleb Williams? What are your standards for Caleb Williams?
Facts.
Because I just want consistency. That's all I want. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's same with me. Yeah,
consistent. So you people that were banging on Justin and said he had everything he needed, Caleb don't need no more. He got even more than Justin had, and you said he's better, so he better produce. That's the way I look at it.
Oh
right?
Yeah,
but. My realist, me being a realist, being a fan of the football and a follower of football, I understand. No, it ain't that simple. It ain't that easy. You need coaching. You need players. You need continuity. You need to grow within the system. All of those things are really, really dependable, or you depend on that in order for your players to develop. We failed at that with several quarterbacks. Hopefully the Bears get it right with this guy. That's my hope.
You know what's crazy about all of that, and just to reiterate or piggyback off what you said, Dan, is that you want to see what people say if and indeed he comes in and it doesn't work. You want to see what the same staunch backers are going to say, and you know what it's going to be. The same thing that they did with they was just so excited to get Justin Fields the day he was drafted, and then by the end of the game, his first game he played was against Cincinnati. Oh, he sucks. He's a bust.
No, he can't read. Was it Cincinnati or Cleveland?
It was Cincinnati. Because remember, Andy Dalton got hurt in the first quarter. And by halftime, Justin Fields, Justin Fields was 5 of 10. He was 5 of 10 going into the first half or ending the first half. And they were like, oh, he's a bust. He sucks. He can't do this. He can't do that. He's going to be a bum. And it just snowballed from that point on. You know, the Cleveland game, they just piled on. Look, he can't read a defense. I mean, damn, bro. I mean, he has like 1.2 seconds back there. I mean, what are you saying? By the time the ball hitting his hand, Garrett was hitting him the same time the ball was going into his hands.
Yeah, him and Clowney.
Yeah. So, you know.
I think you still had a lot of people butthurt about Mr. Trubisky at that point, too. So, and, I think a lot of that was coming from them. Yeah.
They turned Caleb stands. Yeah. Again, faceless accounts. Faceless accounts. You know, so it is what it is. I want Caleb to succeed. I want him to succeed. And again, you know, which we reiterate, the pressure, right? Coming in with Caleb, the pressure, the expectations with the same fan base. I get it that everyone wants him to succeed. Everyone is supporting Caleb. But at the same time, if he don't deliver, the pressure, where do you guys rate the pressure that Caleb Williams will be coming in under his rookie year?
For me, dude, I don't think he has a lot of pressure, dude. Like Dan said, like, he's coming into a better situation than any Bears rookie quarterback has ever been. Like, I shout out to
any
Brandon.
Quarterback, group, period.
Dude. Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Like, he had an article talking about the Bears quarterback.
Pick, period.
Yeah, at Bears Talk, right? And he was saying, like, he was going over, like, every quarterback we had, even going back to Cade McNown, they never got handed the reins. Cade McNown had to sit behind Shane. And who else? Who was it? Grossman had to sit behind. Who did Grossman sit behind? Cordell Stewart. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, Mitch had to sit behind Glennon. Fields had to sit behind Andy Dalton. Like, they just handed him the reins playbook day one. It's your team. And look what he has, bro. I know people, it's been a few months, a month or whatever. Bro, go back and look at Keenan highlights just from last year. Go back and look at DJ Moore. Look at these dudes get open and they catch everything. Go look at Gerald Everett. Go look at Swift. He was a 1,000-yard rusher catching the ball out of the back. You still got Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert. You still got this defense that was playing balls out at the end of the season. Like, he ain't going to have to do as much. He's not going to have to. You know, like, the line ain't perfect, but I can admit the line got better last year. Like, they were at least a serviceable unit. Like, Tevin Jenkins is one of the best guards in the NFL. Darnell White is going to be a stud at right tackle. Braxton Jones is a solid, serviceable. You know what I mean? Like, even now, he's probably at least the mid-tier at tackle in the NFL right now. And to be young as he is, he's probably at least a mid-tier. I ain't saying he's the best. He's about a mid-tier, right? He's a more athletic Charles Lindholm, and he has a higher upside, right? Davis is at least solid when he's healthy. The dude they drafted at center, he's a serviceable center. I'll say he's better than Lucas Patrick. So, and whatever else we had at center last year, Sam Mustipher, you know? So you like, they okay? And you got dogs at wide receiver. You got two number ones.
Yeah.
So bro, they gonna get open. The line's gonna at least hold up somewhat. Shane Waldron is a better play caller than Luke Getsy from what I've seen. I've seen Seattle play, and I've seen us play. And I like that. You know, I ain't no expert at that matter, but they looked like they were doing a lot better than us, right? So we know what Cole Kmet do. We know what Gerald Everett. He's not in a bad position. His team is already solid. Hell, we won games with Tyson Bagent last year, bro.
One, yeah. One? Yeah, we won one.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn.
Did we do it? He came in the game. No, he came in that game. We won one when he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Didn't we win that game?
No, nah, we lost to Minnesota the game.
It wasn't his win. Did we lose? Yeah. Did we win another one? We beat the Raiders.
We beat the Raiders and we beat the Panthers barely.
Yeah, barely. But with it. So, I mean, like, the team is good enough that where he doesn't have to do everything. So, the pressure to me isn't he can hand the ball to DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert, dump it off to Cole Kmet, and his wide receiver is going to get open, and his defense isn't going to give up 30 points a game to Burrow. Remember that with Justin's sophomore year? Justin was, like, running for 200 yards, throwing for 200 yards, and we were losing games 35 to 32. Bro.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And remember that?
Yeah.
Like, it was good. Like, the Miami game, the Eagles game, like – they were putting up points. The defense couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Yeah.
So to me, Caleb's in less pressure.
Much less.
I think Poles has hell of a job security. He ain't going nowhere. So the GM that drafted you ain't going nowhere no time soon. You're secure. Mm-hmm. You're his guy. He gonna put everything into you possible that he can. That means even if he fires the coach, he gonna bring in the coach that fits you.
Cliff Kingsbury. So
like you know what I mean?
Fire
like,
flows and
Ryan Poles is still dude coach two. He ain't even went to coach two yet. So right. If shit don't work out with Flus, he gonna fire Flus and bring in a coach that's gonna build around Caleb. So the only thing Caleb has to worry about is if Ryan Poles ever gets fired, that's when his job is on the line. Justin's career was over when they got rid of Pace, bro. Because the guy that drafted you ain't in the building. And that shit can get tricky. We seen it.
Yeah.
We seen it. So long as Poles is there, Caleb ain't got no pressure, bro.
It ain't no pressure on him. I mean, you know, you're walking into a situation, and like I said, the Bears, for Caleb to be a success, the bar is low in Chicagoland, right?
Very low.
The bar is very low.
3,000 yard passer.
Let's just be real. We haven't had
4,000 yard passer.
Yeah.
I mean, if he throws for 3,500 yards, he's walking on water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, so, you know, the bar is so low that there really is no pressure, in my opinion. You know, with Chicago fan base, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line, if he's struggling, then yeah, they'll turn on him and they'll throw him to the wolves like they do everybody else that's there. And it'll be what it is at that point. But as of right now, I don't think the pressure is there. I think he's walking into a nice situation. New regime, basically. I mean, everybody's gone except for the head coach. You got new coordinators. You got, you know what I mean? So you're walking into, and you know you're walking hand in hand with these guys. And they're all walking in there together. So everybody's has a vested interest in the other guy performing well and doing well. Shane Waldron wants him to do well. Poles wants him to do well. That's my guy. That's the guy I'm drafting. I got rid of Justin Fields to get him. I want him to do well. So, you know, these guys are walking hand in hand. So it's like,
Flus want to ride those coattails too.
Right. Justin had the pressure because Justin was walking alone. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The coach wasn't his coach. The GM wasn't his GM. None of the coordinators was his. He didn't have nobody except for the players that was on the team, and they gutted the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the pressure was on Justin. You gotta perform pretty much on your own, or make it happen. All these other guys, they got vested in. Like Shane Waldron's tied to this guy. Poles is tied to him. His success depends on Caleb Williams being well or doing well. Same thing with Shane Waldron. So I don't think it's no pressure on him. I think they're all together. They're together. I think it'll be an even closer knit than what it was before, with Justin in house, and I think they'll do well. I think it'll work out really well. But like I said, I don't think the pressure is high. And I just want everybody to keep the same energy they had last year and the year before with this guy. Don't curve it now. We can.
I want them all 22 breakdowns.
In that regard. I said it. We all said it. You know what I mean? We can say that. But I don't want to hear from nobody else. I don't want to hear.
Yeah. I want them all 22 breakdowns.
I don't want you telling me
still
now.
Still pictures of wide receivers running wide open. He's wide open.
I want them still. I want them screenshots.
Look at his reads. One, two, three.
If you was watching all football, I like 27.
Hey.
Right.
All 32. Hey, shout out to Swifty. Shout out to Adam Hogue. I'm about to mention y'all. But Adam Hogue posted like a clip. It was actually a clean shot. It was like 5K of Caleb Williams like moving around in the pocket and making a throw. I don't know who it was, Taj watching or something. And then Swifty quote tweeted and it was like, if this was Justin Fields, you'd be on the sideline yelling, throw it, throw it, throw it, throw it. Because he was holding up. Dude, he held on to the ball for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we talk about, the hypocrisy. Yeah. You guys would be like, Justin needs to throw the ball. And Caleb is like backing up, moving around. And I'm like, dude, he had the ball for 5 seconds. You guys would have been screaming from the rooftop. And that's what we're talking about. Like, and I told you.
The guy. That guy was wide open.
Yeah. That guy was wide open. He missed him. And he, you know, and then, bro, I've seen the breakdowns. I watched the QB school, like, or whatever. And they were like, there's a guy wide open right there. Caleb then throws it. He rolls to the right, running right across the middle. For a spectacular play.
It was tied.
It happens.
He was running right across the middle. It happens. Yeah. That's the game.
It happens.
That's the point we're trying to make.
The stuff is moving so fast on the field. People don't realize how fast these guys are and what you really have to do in your mind and your brain to get ready to throw the ball or whatever you're doing. I mean, it's,
you ain't even ready to throw the ball. You're just like, oh, shit.
It's crazy. So the attention to detail has to be there, man. You're going to miss some guys. You're going to miss a guy that's wide open every now and then, as long as you don't just do it frequently. You know what I mean? Just every time you drop back, you got guys running wide open and you scrambling and running the ball instead. You know what I mean?
Guys like that. Guys doing the mailbox. You just miss. So that's the point. It's like, it happens, bro. You can't. But I want to see that same energy. I want y'all all 22. AKA all 32 breakdowns, screenshots, you know, because that's what y'all did to Justin. Yeah. Y'all did the same thing, man, you know. And we told y'all, like, hey, bro, that happens, bro. You can't see everything. And Caleb 6'1", Justin 6'3". You know, you can see a little bit over that line, man.
I've been consistent all the way through. With Trubisky, I was consistent. Let him work, see what happens. He got to develop. All these guys are a work in progress. When they come out of college, they're not a fully developed player. There's things that you're going to have to go through. They're growing pains. So I know that that's going to happen with Caleb. But, you know, I can say it, but I feel like there are certain people that can't say it. That's the way I look at it.
Now, you're right. They took the right away. They took their right away. They said he was QB Jesus, baby. They said he don't do no wrong.
I seen a picture where somebody had a Photoshopped Caleb Williams. He was walking on water. He was like walking in this USC uniform, but he was like on a river.
Oh man, like, they need to do one with him in that little fit he had on in GQ.
The outfit, GQ. Yeah.
Oh man, the
yeah, that Jesus outfit. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That looks like the Old Testament. Somebody should do it. Hey, whoever got editing skills out there, do that. Because that outfit looks straight out the Old Testament.
Yeah, it do,
he's holding
it.
The tablets. The Moses tablets, the Ten Commandments. Hey, man, I'm a Bear fan, so I'm eternally optimistic. So, you know, I hope he's the guy. You know, I wanted Justin. So I thought Justin. I think Justin's going to – I got a boy who's a Steelers fan. I was like, he gonna take Russ' job, bro.
He is.
I think Justin's going to play well. And he's gonna do well.
But I think
Caleb. I think Caleb is good. Go ahead.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I'm just saying, man.
No, you got it.
It stings. They posted that picture of him, dog, and he was there with that black and yellow on, man. I was just like, oh man. You know, like I told you, I hope we don't have a 30 for 30 in the next 10 years. And you know, my man's like, what if I told you that the Chicago Bears had one of the great quarterbacks of this modern era and they traded him away? Like, oh my God. Chicago blew it. You know what I'm saying? I just hope, and that was my fear. That was always my fear, right? Because I felt like he didn't reach his potential here. You know what I'm saying? And perfect example, just like where, you know, you look at it from his college days when he was in Georgia. He didn't reach his potential at Georgia, but he reached it at Ohio State. You know, he didn't reach his potential in Chicago, but it's a possibility that he could reach it in Pittsburgh. And that's one of my biggest fears, man, because we played him. I think we played him next year. If I'm not mistaken, I think we do play them next year because it goes in rounds. And I think we played the AFC North 2 years ago, right? And we play them again this year. I think it's like every 2 to 3 years you play the AFC North, you know, stuff like that, where you go through, right. You have games where you play the West 1 year, then the year after you play the East, and then the year after that you play the South, and then you play the North and stuff like that. So it's coming up. But, you know, enough of Justin. You know, again, like I said, it's basically Caleb Williams. I hope that he pans out to be everything I want him to be and more. It would be good to see a quarterback throw for, you know, 4,500 yards on a regular basis in a season, possibly 5,000 yards. You know, that's a tall task. I mean, the cats that did it, you know, Drew Brees, I know Matthew Stafford did it 1 year. Who else threw for 5,000 in a season? I know it was
Peyton Manning.
Okay, Peyton, of course.
My boy, your boy, the GOAT.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers ever did it 1 year?
Aaron Rodgers did it, and so did what's his name? Tom Brady.
Okay. So yeah, you know, just to see Cass do that,
and the great one, Mr. Crab Legs himself, Jameis Winston.
Oh yeah, damn, he sure did. He sure did. Damn, yo, that's crazy. Yeah, Crab Legs did do that.
Yeah,
I forgot all about Crab Legs throwing for 5,000 in a season.
Two for five, yep.
But it ain't many. You know what I'm saying? It's not many. So that gives us Drew Brees, Matthew Stafford, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Jameis Winston. Damn, that's good.
Dak did it, didn't he?
I know Dak came close.
4,900.
Yeah, he came close.
Dak came close.
Yeah, he came close.
Yeah. Came close. So, you know, before we went on air, folks, we found out, we got some breaking news. We're not breaking it, but we had got breaking news once we got on air that the Houston Texans have traded for Stephon Diggs. And, you know, it looks like Buffalo has a fire sale going on up there in in New York, man. So with that said, I mean, you know, and given the fact that the Bears just acquired a lineman for them with a fifth rounder, and then Buffalo turned right around and released one of their starters too on the right. O-line. So with that said, do you fellas think
it's
the
money, bro?
Yeah, do you think the window in Buffalo's winning days are long but over? It's over. Do you think the window is closed?
No.
Because this looks like a retooling year.
No, it's not it's a retooling year, but it, you know, that division is weak, bro. You got the Jets who are up and down, you know, depending on Aaron Rodgers' health. You got New England who is terrible, who's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Miami that's Miami's going to be on their way down pretty soon too, because they're not going to be able to
pay everybody.
Yeah. So I mean, and that's what this is, man. Like I told people a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
when quarterbacks come into the league, like Justin Fields or like Caleb Williams, is this is ideal for Caleb because you have a ton of talent around him, right? And they can hide some of his problems being so good, right? They're so good that they hide some of the problems because they get wide open. They can take some of the pressure off of him, alleviate some of that pressure that we're talking about, right? So when you have a ton of guys like that on the roster, it really takes it off of the quarterback's, you know, plate, you might say. So at the end of the day, in year 2, 3, 4, when Caleb Williams has now started to develop and you get rid of some of the problems that he has by way of coaching and by way of development, right? Now you start stripping some of those players away. We're not going to be able to re-sign all of those guys that we have. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We got guys under contract now, but are we going to be able to re-sign them if Caleb Williams gets a big deal in year 4? No, we're not going to be able to re-sign them. So you're going to do just like Kansas City has done and just like Buffalo is doing right now, and that's pulling guys away. We got to start getting rid of some of these guys because we can't afford to pay a guy $60 million at the quarterback position,
yeah,
and pay a wide receiver $30 million.
And that's doing it.
That's when you got a draft
receiver class.
$100 million of your salary cap. That's not happening, bro.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
You know that's when you got to. That's when you got to draft well. Because you need
and
those
it's a deep wide receiver
second, third
well.
Round picks.
So really well.
You need to draft well, and your quarterback at this point in year 4, 5, he needs to be good enough to make those guys like Rashee Rice better.
Because he may not be here.
I'll be Rashee Rice. No, I'm saying no. He ain't going to be there.
But he's saying, yeah.
He played last year because of Patrick Mahomes. When he came out, I remember talking to a scout, and I was like, he went to the senior day last year. And I was like, what's Rashee Rice looking like? Because I was like, I thought he has some of the tools that I thought was good. He was like, man, that's a work in progress right there. He got a lot of stuff. He can't beat people off the line, this, that, and the third, blah, blah, blah. But you get with the coaching staff, and Patrick Mahomes is able to make him better than what he is. If he goes to another roster, he ain't as good as he played last year.
Hey, I got an example for you. Byron Pringle.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
he looked serviceable in Kansas City.
Yeah. Serviceable.
Where is
that
he
man
at?
Catch an out route in his hand. I don't know, but he left Kansas City and his career was over. That's the point. That's the point that they're making. You put him on Kansas City, he was a bona fide number three.
Right.
Exactly. Yep.
You put him anywhere else? Where is he? He's on a milk carton.
And you know what's sad about Chicago, man? Like we go back 7 years, man. Look at the wide receivers that have left Chicago. And where are they now? Like all of these guys, where are they now?
Where are they now?
Allen Robinson. Anthony Miller.
Allen Robinson.
Taylor Gabriel. Trey Burton. Josh Bellamy.
Javon Wims.
Yeah,
Javon Wims.
Riley Ridley.
Right.
I mean, where? I just named wide receiver after wide receiver. It's like it's
trash.
For the last 7 or 8 years, bro, it's been just these guys are not even serviceable on other teams.
Right.
And the Bears had them and was starting them. It's bad.
And then they wonder what perfect.
Now that we have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, it's like, okay, we doing things right. I'm going to give the credit that he deserves because he's doing things the right way.
He actually is. He's getting bona fide guys.
You're setting your guy up for a potential to be very good, Caleb Williams.
That's why I said it's no pressure. Don't let them get wrong. Or who is the guy? They can trade down and get another wide receiver.
If they trade down,
you still got Robinson from LSU.
Mm-hmm. Still got Robinson from LSU. You still got my man from South Carolina, who they next Debo Samuel.
Look at Adonai Mitchell. He's 6'4".
Yeah,
and he runs. He ran at the combine. He ran a 4.35.
Hey, we forgetting about Coleman from Florida State.
Yeah.
We forget about Coleman.
That's what I'm saying. It ain't just those. Yeah, we get caught up in the Marvin Harrisons, the Romes, and the Malik Nabers and ignore all these other guys. The Bears can still trade down and get a number three wide receiver. And, bro, think about it. You got Adonai Mitchell. You got Keenan Allen. You got DJ Moore. You got the two tight ends and a running back that can catch the ball out of it. Hey, bro, come on, bro. Yeah. Like, that's – like, he just draw back and just pick your target. It's pitch and catch. Hype, I know he's open. Keenan's open. DJ's always open. And if none of them are open, I know Cole Komet's open across the middle. They ain't open, I can dump the ball to DeAndre Swift.
Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy.
That ran a 4.21 at the combine.
Yes, sir.
I was going to say, who was that ran that 4.2? Yeah, there you go. I was like,
who's that motherfucker that ran a 4.21?
That's what I was like.
Put him on my team. Bring that motherfucker in here.
Hey, he's the number three. Back in the day, we'd have had him at wide receiver one.
Absolutely.
He's the number three.
Right.
Like, no, that, like, bro, you ain't better than Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. These are bona fide 100 reception wide receivers.
100 catch wide receivers,
100 catches.
Balls.
Easy. Two of them.
1,200, 1,300 yards. Yeah.
1,200, 1,300
yards. Cole Komet is 70 ball catching tight end, bro. Gerald Everett's going to get you 50. DeAndre Swift going to get you 40-50 at the backfield.
Right.
It's happening. He just dropped back somebody open.
Somebody open.
If they ain't open, you can just throw a one-on-one.
You got speed and you got size.
Even if they ain't open, they open.
The Bears have speed. They got speed. They got size mismatches, and they also have a possession receiver in Keenan Allen.
Mobile, agile, and hostile.
He's doing his job. Poles is doing his job, bro. You got to give him his credit.
Yeah.
Got to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to address straight out to RG3. RG3 was like, Caleb should pull a Eli and say he don't want to go to Chicago. Even JT O'Sullivan, bro, was like, I wish he. Come on, bro. Like, Caleb ain't dumb.
Yeah.
He ain't dumb. He's like, hold on. They just signed DeAndre Swift. Hey, they got Khalil Herbert.
Say that again.
They got Cole Kmet. They just signed Gerald Everett. He ain't dumb. He's like, hell no. He's all up in Bears Twitter. He's like, he's quote tweeting Bears. He's liking Bears. Nah, bro. He ain't stupid. For the Commanders, what the hell they got? They got Scary Terry. That's about it.
Could this be our makeup for Deshaun Watson that year that they took Mitch Trubisky? Could this be our makeup? Because, man, I still feel that year, right? That year that we were supposed to get Deshaun Watson, right? And that year didn't go so well. But the following year, you know what I'm saying?
2018.
There's nothing in my mind that tells me otherwise that if we had Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes, we wasn't going to the Super Bowl. There's nothing in my mind that was telling me that we wasn't going.
We still had Cody Parkey.
Yeah, but
he would have did something.
At some point. At some point.
Dad is talking like he's traumatized. He's, bro. No, he would have did something.
I think at some point he would have shit the bed.
It would have went wrong.
We would delay the pain. The pain would have just been delayed.
The problem there was Ryan Pace did not get rid of that man when he missed five extra points during the
game. And against the Lions.
Yeah, Detroit.
Against the Lions. At that point in time, he was supposed to be released. He was supposed to be released.
You kept him.
Simpson looking ass. Yeah.
And he lost us a playoff game because of that.
I couldn't believe it. You know, I watched... You know, they still got the memes on there. Or not memes, but they still got the shorts and the videos on there people was sitting there looking at them kick that field goal, bro, and how motherfuckers was just ripping TVs off the wall. Ripping TVs off the wall. Blowing TVs up. Like, people were pissed. I couldn't believe we lost.
The problem was is that I knew he was going to miss. I knew
he was. Psychologically, he was weak, yeah.
He's going to miss... This is over with.
Who won the Super Bowl that year? Who won the Super Bowl that year?
The Eagles did. They won the Super Bowl that year.
Was it that year?
No, not that year. No, because they had Foles.
Yeah.
No, the Rams went to the Super Bowl and lost to the
The
Patriots?
Yeah, they lost to the Patriots.
Yeah, they got spanked. Yeah, they got spanked. The Rams went to the championship and got spanked. Jared Goff, that's the year Jared Goff won.
What year was that Super Bowl?
2019. Super Bowl. Yeah, Jared Goff, because we had that number that year.
Yeah.
And we felt that if we played them, we would have beat them.
And we damn near beat the Patriots that year, too. Remember it came when Kevin White caught that damn Hail Mary?
Yeah.
But he couldn't get into the end zone?
It was the Patriots and Rams.
Yeah, we had whooped the Rams at home. Shut them out.
That was 13-3.
Yeah.
Dang. That was a week
two. Yeah, and we had whooped the Rams that year. We had the Rams on Sunday Night Football. And everybody was like, oh, this is it. And we whooped them right on Sunday Night Football.
Even if we had Deshaun Watson and say that game against Philadelphia, we blew them out and Cody Parkey never had to step foot on the field. The following week, he would have missed the field goal.
Oh.
Or that's what I'm saying. He would have missed
the Super Bowl. He was coming.
Yeah. It was inevitable.
It was coming. I agree with Dan. Bro, it was inevitable.
Those who listening to this, go back to that clip and listen to how just defeated Dan was sounding. He would have did something. Man, that is. Dan just sounded so defeated. He would have did something, man. It just would have cost us. He would have did something. It was brutal, man. It's brutal. It's the brutal life of being a Bears fan. You know what I'm saying? The brutal life of being a Bears fan, man. We go through highs. We go through lows. You know, we've had Bears Civil War literally for like the last, 2-3 months? 3 months, 4 months, Bears Civil War, you know? Look, I've come to the realization that some of you motherfuckers is crazy. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, being that lockdown fucked with some of y'all brain, you know what I'm saying? Or these vaccines or something ain't right with some of y'all, but you know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm just saying, bro. Some of y'all,
I tell you,
right.
Bro, I just let them be. I let them be.
You know,
bro.
So it just gets to that. You know what I'm saying? So fuck it. You know what I'm saying? You'll just be that family member that I know fucked up and ain't right. You know what I'm saying? I love you, but I don't fuck with
just
you.
Just nod and say what's up to you.
You know what I'm saying? I love you, but I don't fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But before we get out of here, man, on a more somber note, you know what I'm saying? I did my man Seth. You know what I'm saying? He lost his wife, you know what I'm saying, recently. Yeah. With her battle, I think it was with leukemia.
Leukemia, yeah.
You know, and man,
what's his Twitter handle, Will? You got it?
Yeah, let me see. I just
let everybody shoot him a text or shoot him a message if y'all can.
Yeah, shoot him a message. Let him know.
Man. That's a terrible thing to have to go.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But go ahead, DeVore. It's at Seth.
Yeah. Yes. It's at Seth from America.
Yes. At Seth from America.
That's all it is, yeah.
At Seth from America.
It's been blowing up, man.
You know,
it's been blowing up, but I know it's just Twitter, bro, and it ain't, you know, we don't know him, like, personally, but I just quote tweeted, and, like, hopefully he just looks at it and see all the likes and all the love he's getting, because there's been a lot of hate on Bears Twitter.
Yeah, man.
That he just see, like, hey, when we need to circle the wagons and
we need to
give somebody our props,
Seth,
our virtual
right now,
love,
man,
our virtual hugs.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, he needs to feel your love, and I can't even imagine, you know, I was married and divorced, you know what I'm saying? And even still, you know, that me and my ex-wife, we not together. If she was to leave this earth, man, I'd be devastated, you know what I'm saying? Devastated, because that's still the mother of my children at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, I would be devastated. So I can't even imagine, you know, my heart goes out to Seth, you know, and like I told Seth, you know, I'll be praying for him. You know what I'm saying? I'll be sending nothing but love, you know what I'm saying? And Seth, you know what I'm saying? You check the DMs, man. I even gave you my personal number if you want to talk, you know what I'm saying, or anything, man, because this is a very difficult time to be in, you know what I'm saying? And I can't even imagine the pain that he's feeling right now. So if you can, you know what I'm saying, you rock with the Kings, man. Go ahead and send some love out to Seth, you know, let him know, you know, he's in my prayers. He's in the King's prayers. We'll be praying for him, you know what I'm saying? And doing everything that we can to uplift his spirits and just surround him with a lot of love, because that's what he needs right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Solely.
Yeah.
Sure. So
on a real note, then, real life. This is kind of what, don't get too caught up in the Twitter, man. Real life goes on outside of it. And this is like one
absolutely.
Of them, you know, we got to see, because he put it on Twitter, but real life goes on. People go through stuff. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Be kind.
That's a fact.
You know what I mean? That's all we got, man. Yeah.
Any parting shots?
Yeah, that's all I got, man.
Any parting notes? Any parting shots? We ain't
got nothing
really going on. This is like a slow era of NFL news and notes. Ain't nothing really happening. Ain't nothing really popping off. But we still going to hit y'all with a show next week.
For sure.
We can actually talk about possible like we used to do. Remember, like we used to do way back when, we'll have some notes on some prospects that we are interested in. I remember I put a lot of people up on Jaquan Brisker before they even knew who Jaquan Brisker was.
I think we need to do that.
Yeah, we should do that. Definitely.
Absolutely.
We'll do that next week, for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the next coming weeks, again, with everything being slow, no news coming out, we're going to allow y'all to call in to the show. Because, you know, we want to reach out there and get y'all thoughts too. You know what I'm saying? Like we said, we the voice of the voiceless, and we do this for the culture. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people who voices can't be heard, or you know, we've inspired a lot of people to start up their own podcast too. A lot of people who can't be heard. Now don't be calling in here, we get at you faceless trolls and everything else that be on Twitter. You call in here talking crazy, you gonna make the episode, and you probably gonna make the highlight clip of the week. You call in here talking that crazy shit here, and you definitely gonna, these ain't typed words. You gonna get some real choice words on live air. And
hey, they sound different on air.
Oh yeah,
when they try to, you know what I mean? Because they can tweet it, and then when they on it, Remember this call in? They can't even talk, bro. Like, they can tweet it. It sounds good in the tweet.
They called in that one time. We was dying laughing at him.
Oh, man. I know exactly who you talk. I can't think of who it was, but he called in and sounded like Woody Harrelson, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. You got no personality in that tweet. It's just words on a piece on the screen. But when you got to talk and actually formulate words
and put shit together,
you actually got to formulate words in real life. In real time, it's a different animal, bro.
That's a fact.
It's a different animal, dude. Yeah,
that's a fact. So yeah,
like, oh, that's why you have a faceless account.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? No character, man. No character. No swag with the ladies. No nothing. You know what I'm saying? You the type that be home with the dog spreading peanut butter over the genitals, man. You know what I'm saying? Just being honest, bro. Just being honest. I keep doing it, man.
That's a real thing, dude.
I keep doing it, man.
I knew some dudes do polygraphs, and they said that people would do that.
It's some sick people in this world. Some real sick people in this world. But, yeah, we definitely going to get y'all the opportunity to call in. Like I said, next week we'll have some prospects that we like, you know what I'm saying, and what we'd like to see. We'll go down. We'll go through the draft order of our picks, what we have going on with our picks, what we like at that pick, and possibly, you know what I'm saying. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I think we should bring up other wide receivers, kind of what we were talking about, because I think everybody in the fan base is only focused on three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, and Rome Ordiz.
Romeo Ordiz. But yeah, Romeo Ordiz. But yeah, that's definitely a fact. So, I mean, yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then have y'all call in and y'all get y'all little think pieces on what y'all would like to see them do or whatever. You know what I'm saying? We done had Will Wright on here. We done had King Mac on here. He called in one time.
Yeah.
We had who else, man? We had a lot of people on, man, over the years. Especially those call-in segments are it's pretty dope. It's pretty dope. It allows y'all, you know what I'm saying, an opportunity to interact with us. And we can interact with y'all, so... It's pretty dope. It's funny. You know what I'm saying? And it's fun. So that's all I got for this week.
Sure.
That's all I got, man.
That's all I got, too, man. Y'all take it easy. Y'all be safe out there. Be happy, man. Stop being sad. Stop being bitter.
Facts.
And quit trolling so much. God, dog.
Hey, man. They troll with the, you know, I'm a talented brother, man. You know what I'm saying? I got many avenues, you know what I'm saying, on things that I've done in my life, just like you fellas have. So, you know, again, people hate us because they ain't us. You know how that go. They hate what they don't understand. Man. Fear what they can't conquer. What now I say? People hate it's what they don't understand. Fear what they can't conquer. Yeah. Guess it's just a theory of man. Yeah. That's real.
Yeah.
That's real.
And the thing is, I usually share stuff that I know and I come across so often on the timeline. Man, if you want to know something, let me know.
Facts.
I help you out. I help you. I know you want to get your resume updated. I know who you can get in touch to get your resume updated. You need a cover letter. I can do that. Want to know about investing? Want to know about crypto? Want to know about real estate? Bro, I got, like, I'm a Greek grown man, bro. Like, we out here living this world. Like, I can give you advice. You know, you ain't got to hate. I don't care if you're a young man coming up. Somebody did it to me. That's why I know.
Facts.
You know, I can tell you, you know,
tell you between
the FHA,
here,
VA, conventional, the money you got to have down, how to save your money, how to get your credit up. Like, what you need, bro?
Absolutely.
It's all love.
It's all love. We spread love, Dick. We spread love. Come on, man.
Ain't like you want to know something, bro. Let me know. Don't be mad. I'll tell you.
What I found out this week, though, a lot of people who were mad after having a conversation with me, they end up following me.
Yeah.
Weird, right? But you know what I'm saying?
What's funny is that a lot of people like a lot of stuff that, you know, stuff can get said or whatever, and people jump on this bandwagon, and it's because you already had a distaste for the Three Kings in some way, shape, or form. But you know what? At the end of the day, I engage with all of you people.
Yeah.
I engage with everybody. I ain't got a problem with it. You know what I mean? So if you ever feel the need to say something about me, just say it to me. Direct me 100%, and then I'll direct you 100%. I'm not going to be rude to you until you're rude to me.
Right.
When you're rude to me or when you're disrespectful to me, then I meet you with that same.
It ain't I'll mute your ass.
No, I don't meet you with the same. Mm. I go low. I take the low road. I don't take the high road. I take the low road.
And that's all we did.
It is what it is.
That's all we did.
And maybe I'm wrong for that. Maybe I'm wrong for that. But at the end of the day, we give our opinions on sports, on the Bears,
That's it.
That's what we give our opinions on. Some of them are right, some of them are wrong. It's our opinion.
We human.
It's my preference. Like I said last week, my preference is for tall, strong, fast wide receivers. I don't like midgets. I don't like small ones. Somebody gonna be mad at me for saying the word midget right now. Little people. My bad. My bad. Okay?
It is my what bad. It is.
But I'm just saying, like,
they're gonna be like, you know, Will, you condone it, Dan, talking about midgets.
I'm not
at You're
all.
A midget hater, Will. What the fuck are you talking about? The girl is man.
Look, man.
You supposed to
That's
say
what I'm like,
you know, you got I got people telling me why you don't say nothing. Why was you laughing? Because he called him a d and I agreed with that part. Period. I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm not gonna say nothing else.
Look. We ain't here trying to start nothing with nobody. We don't bother nobody.
No.
We do our own thing, man. You know, but the thing that kills me is the fake outrage of somebody who's deliberately been out here fucking with people, fucking with us in a sense for the last 3-4 months. And we've never said anything, never interacted. We never had a conversation with this young man.
Bro, I blocked him. I blocked him. People were tweeting at me, but I blocked you. You still add me into your tweet. I obviously don't want to interact with you.
And you know
I don't
why this goes on, folks?
I never really had no interaction with him.
Me either.
Like, you know, and he tagged me in.
I had like,
it is what it
is. Yeah, I had one, but it wasn't even vicious.
No, it was over vicious, man. It wasn't vicious.
It was over a take. And I was like, oh, as soon as I saw that, I saw the reaction and I saw the minions and I was like, nope, I just went through block, because I ain't playing. I'm too grown. I got stuff. I got mortgages. I got kids. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't got time to be like, y'all ain't got nothing to do with y'all lives, but like create fake accounts and like tweet at people. But I don't have that time.
That's how you know the asses ain't adults, bro. They got all this time in the world. Motherfuckers who work ain't got that much time and on their hands.
No,
at all.
I got deadlines I got to meet. I'm checking work emails while I'm on a podcast. You know,
exactly. And it's nothing. We don't have any vitriol or hate for anybody
at all.
You know what I'm saying? None of that. Like. As long as everybody keeps it, we're three alpha dudes right here, bro.
Absolutely.
How do you think we get along? Yeah. Because we respect one another.
Exactly.
See what I'm saying? We can talk sports. We can have a disagreement. We can disagree on this topic or that topic, but we ain't got to be disrespectful. But when you know, sometimes, man, and that's something that I've noticed too, is that most of these people, they don't really have no beef with us.
They don't.
They just want to push a button,
or just get traction.
Something. And then when they say something, okay, now we can pile on and we could go get a whole army of people. Like somebody said it the other day.
Yeah.
We got a whole army of people that's about to get. Well, come on, man. You're not part of this.
What are you getting?
Like, you're not part of them. So why would you try to enlist help from them?
What are you getting out of this is what I'm not understanding. It's like you're not stopping nothing.
I'm gonna say that about it.
No.
I'm not gonna stay on it too long, man, because I know it's a sensitive subject for a lot of people, and people, you know, we grew up differently, bro. I'm just being honest.
Yeah,
you
know, and I'm not saying anything's an excuse. I don't make excuses because I accept and I own whatever I say or do,
facts,
or whatever, and I stand on it. You know what I mean? But you know, you got to understand, and I have to understand that. That's one thing I have to understand is that. Everybody is just comes from a different era, time, neighborhood. I mean, it's not just black and white. It's not just, you know, color. It's a different time. It's a different era. It's a different.
Yeah, the eras are big too.
Social, you know, everything is just different. So, you know, we respect it, man. We respect people, and we respect people that respect us as well.
But don't disrespect us and think you're gonna get respect back.
Yeah, sometimes.
No, you definitely not.
We try not to go overboard, but sometimes, you know.
It happens.
Everybody's human, man. Everybody makes mistakes, so it is what it is.
Mine wasn't no damn mistake. I said.
I'm just saying. You sometimes I get out of pocket. Sometimes
it happens.
Yeah.
I said, man, you know, I
Yeah. I've been better at it.
All the time, though.
But yeah,
no shout out to my boy. Shout out to a friend of the show, Ray the Barber. We had some good conversations.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Sure. So like, I'm a lot better at that than I used to be. You know what I mean? I obviously now I got a lot more followers than I had when I had like 1,000. So I can't. It's too much, and I understand that people are just saying stuff. Like I looked at one guy. I think he said something to you, Nez. And I just looked at this guy's account. I ain't saying his names. I ain't getting no props. And I just scrolling down his timeline. Bro, that bro posted like 50 tweets. Ain't none of his tweets have one like. The only tweet he had likes on was the one he interacted with you. It was like 12.
That was it.
Every tweet. This dude is tweeting to the oblivion. Nobody's liking it. Like one post he had a pinned post. And it had like 1,000 views. And not one like. Bro, like all these people are looking at your tweet and they just like, well, I ain't liking that shit. Like, it don't cost nothing to like a tweet.
At all.
Like, bro, you are tweeting all day and nobody's liking it. So when they target you and then they quote tweet you and now they got likes, they're going to keep going at you because they're not getting any interaction.
That's
why a lot of times, bro, like I look at these people, I go to their profile and I scroll a little bit and I'm like, yup, block, mute. I ain't interacting with you because I know what you're trying to do.
Why you think I turned my responses off yesterday? Because I'm like, bro, yeah. I don't got time to be arguing with 100 faceless accounts. You know what I'm saying? A motherfucker came to me.
And it's
last
like 20 dudes.
Crazy.
It's actually 20 dudes.
Duh. A motherfucker came talking to me crazy last night, talking about all the Three Kings. Yeah, they lost a lot of listeners. And I said, bro, why the fuck you lying? Why you lying? Why are you lying? I can go on Spotify right now and show, like, bro, Spotify is not showing you who listened to our shit. You lying, bro. You literally sit up here lying.
You're lying.
That's like going to Apple Podcast and Apple says, oh, this many people listen or this. Like, no, stop, bro. Stop. Now, I could pull up the numbers and show you. Just like I showed you that we're syndicated in over 75 countries and we're listened to all over the world. But that's nothing, bro. I could easily do it. Then do it and shut the fuck up.
And thinking about that too, I want to give a shout out to my man's Cork City Bears fan. I think his Twitter handle is Bears Cork, @BearsCork.
Yeah,
that's my man's man. I had a DM little conversation with him yesterday too, and shout out to him, man. He's a good dude. I appreciate him. Shout out to his kids, Theo. Shout out to Elizabeth, his baby girl. You know what I mean. Show them some love too, man. He's a good dude, man. He's a real good dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He does
the Corky dude.
The Irish Bears show.
Yeah,
the
Irish Bears. Facts. Yeah. The homies.
So, yeah, you know. Shout out to him, man. He hit me on the DM too, and he was like, you know what? Hey, I see it for what it is, man. Y'all keep doing your thing.
Facts.
Whatever. And it is what it is. He's a good dude.
But this is why we always say that we're for the culture. And most of you who are sending these shots. I don't. We don't make this shit for y'all. Y'all don't fuck with us no way.
I think I tweeted that yesterday.
We don't do this for y'all.
If you know me, you know my character. If you don't know me, it's probably best you don't know me.
That's all good.
Leave it at that.
Hey.
Yeah, I ain't gonna put that much energy to it, dude. I really don't.
Fuck that.
I really don't.
Anyhow. Once again, before we close out, keep Seth in your prayers, folks. You know what I'm saying? Keep him in your prayers. You know, if you can reach out, send a tweet to him. You know what I'm saying? Uplift his spirits or do what you can. You know what I'm saying? Seth, we here for you, brother. You know?
For sure.
Straight up. Other than that, that's all I got.
Y'all be easy.
We out.
Peace.